this part of it. Hang on there a second. We're standing by to stand by. Hey, there we go. Come up first. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessed Son and our Savior, our Lord, our friend, our brother, Jesus Christ. Father, as we gather out this day today, may your presence be known. Father, we gather out for none other than to seek your face and to hear from you and to commune with you. Father, may your presence be known in this place. As we lift up your name and in songs, Father, may we hear from your heart. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let it overflow. Let the redeemed of the Lord say. never fails. And all my days I've been held in your hand. The moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am making, I will sing of the goodness of God. Darkest night, you were close like no other. Known you as a father, known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been.
Yo.
of the goodness of God.
Let heaven come.
Let heaven come. Let heaven come. Let heaven come. Let heaven come. Let heaven come.
You know, the words of that song are so true. The Lord said, let his will be done in the earth as it is in the heaven. And he desires that for us. And you know, I was just thinking about all this rain that we're having, all the flooding of rain and everything. Imagine what it would be like if we were raining in the kingdom, like this rain that's hitting this earth. How beautiful it would be if we were reigning, walking in that kingdom, reigning in that kingdom as he desires that we do, that we live that life that's above the circumstances and everything that we face. He desires to show himself strong in our behalf, and I'm so thankful that he does. I'm so thankful that he is our way, our truth, and our life. And no matter what it is, where it is, he is there, present with us to keep us in his care. We love you this morning.
You know, I appreciate you guys listening to me, sticking with me, more than what you know. I just share what's working in me. And I've gave these things different titles here in the last several weeks, with mountain and kingdom and even today. And it's just because I want to share with you what's in my heart. And I know a lot of times it seems like we're not supposed to talk about this stuff. And I'm going to tell you what, 99.9% of the churches are not talking about this stuff that I'm going to be sharing with you, or that I have been sharing with you. And I think it's needful to do it. So I'm calling this Christian Prepper, Part 1. Just as a catchy title, I guess. But when I say that, I mean, what does that mean? What comes up on your mind? Christian Prepper. Prep for what? Prep for what? Why? And you know, most of the times when you talk about this stuff with people, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They cannot understand, and especially in today's church world, and I love the message of grace, the person of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's hard to talk about these things or explain, because you don't want to run run people off. And Lord knows I've run enough people off, not intentionally, but a lot of people that go from church to church, they have in their mind what they want to hear. And when they don't hear what they want to hear, they go somewhere else till they hear. But I don't, to me, and I'm not being arrogant or honest or anything, I really don't pray about what I think you want to hear. I mean, it's not that I don't consider you. I do, but I'd go and I'd talk to the Lord and I'd say, Lord, what is your heart? And I just walk around and pray, Lord, what is your heart? And then whatever I feel that in here, you get. And that's the way it is. If 1,000 people hears it or if one, that's just the way it is. Because I know that the gospel is not, the real gospel is not real powerful, but the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the power of God unto salvation to them that believe, to them that will receive it. It's the power of God unto salvation. Salvation from what? I mean, we got to ask these questions, don't we? If it's all about going to heaven when you die, then, you know, and that's what people have done with the gospel. Here, get your ticket. I'm telling you, in this Bible, most people, you know, they go through and they pick out all the lollipop verses. Do you realize Isaiah? We read Isaiah. We love Isaiah. Do you realize what happened to Isaiah? Do y'all know what happened to Isaiah? They sawed him in half. Imagine, they didn't have a chainsaw. They didn't cut him into pieces with a sword. They had their rudimentary saw, 600 B.C., and hung him up and cut him in half. For his testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you something, I'll just throw this out there. If you've never read it, you ought to read Fox's Book of Martyrs and just go through. And I'm telling you what, in that time, in the time we're living in, if you're not prepared in your heart, you are up the creek. I'm just telling you. And if anybody with any spiritual sense at all knows that troubled times ain't knocking on our doors, you're living in la-la land. You're living in la-la land. I'm telling you, the days of mighty persecution of Christians in these United States is beckoning at our door, whether you like it or not. And I'm telling you, you're not supposed to say this stuff, right? We're supposed to be lovey-dovey. I'm going to tell you something. I stopped the other day at the store. I was talking to this lady, and we were talking about this stuff a little bit because, you know, you just can't keep it in. I mean, wherever you go, it just kind of spills out, don't it? It just spills out. And she told me, she says, well, I haven't been faithful to go to church. And, of course, she goes down to Doug Allen. Y'all know where Doug Allen is. And y'all may know him. I wouldn't know him if he walked in. It's neither here nor there. She said, I hadn't been faithful. I hadn't been going. But she said, I'll tell you what, I don't like controversy. I don't like confrontation. I don't like confrontation. And, you know, most Christians, I mean, who likes confrontation? Nobody wants confrontation. You don't back and forth. But let me tell you something. Just by the very name you bear, and you bear His holy name, the world hates you. The reason the world hates you is because it hates Him. So make no mistake out of it. There is no hiding. There is no hiding. You may hide for a little while, but there is none. The world, I mean, you got to get this through your heads. The world hates you. It hates you because of His very namesake. You bear a mark. I don't know if you know this or not. Most people don't know it, but you bear a mark. People think they're going to take the number. Well, let me tell you, Ezekiel saw the angel go through the city and marking them, and those that got marked were destroyed. Well, you got marked. You got marked with the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, you got saved. You didn't even know that you bear the mark. Because if you have spiritual eyes, you can see those that bear the mark. They're torch bearers. I mean, when you're in the darkness, you can spot a light 10 miles away.
So people even with evil spiritual discernment can spot Christians 10 miles away, whether they even know it or not, because you bear a mark. Christian prepping. I'm going to read you a little bit. I know. I mean, the reason I do this, guys, I don't feel like a prophet or nothing like that. I'm like a watchman on the wall. You know what a watchman is? I'm looking out there and I'm reporting back to you what I see. A watchman on the wall. That's what I'm doing. A watchman on the wall. And I'm, you know, it's like, well, give us some good news. The good news is you're in Christ Jesus. And I want to prepare you. Because, you know, it's like this lady said. She said, I don't like confrontation. Well, guess what? You know what I had to say? You better toughen up. I don't know what else to tell you. You better toughen up. And I know that's kind of rough. I mean, I'm an old Marine. But see, I've been down that road, and I tell you the worst thing, being a supervisor on the railroad and all that stuff, the worst thing you have to deal with is confrontation. You hate it. But I'm telling you what happened, what met Jesus in the wilderness, confrontation. It was the devil himself. As soon as he came up out of the water, the devil didn't give him 3 weeks to prepare. Immediately, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and the devil is there. At his weakest moment, there's confrontation. But you know what? Bless God, confrontation is what makes you strong. The wind makes the trees strong. That's why the writer says we glory in tribulation. I mean, who wants to call down tribulation? I mean, to me, that's foolishness. But it makes you, you know. I'm going to tell you. Now, these are just small things. But you know us guys, believe it or not, are different from girls. And I'll just throw this out. Guys can't have babies. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful, very. But you know, isn't it nonsense that you even have to make a statement like that? That they want to get rid of, and I'm going to tell you what, there's words that are just sacred, and one of those words is father, dad. That's a sacred word. I'm going to tell you another one is mother. What a wonderful gift that God has given to a woman to be able to produce, contain life in her own body and bring forth life into this world. My God, what a holy gift. What a holy gift. Unless you have kids like mine. Nah, I'm just kidding. I love them all, most of them, sometimes. Nah, really? Nah, I'm just kidding. I would say they're probably watching, but they're probably not. Yeah. But I will tell you this. And you know, when you have kids when you're young, you know that first kid that you have, you're scared to death all the time. Oh, God, they got a fever. And, you know, you talk to your mom. His mom's like, oh, they're cutting teeth. Don't worry about it. And you're like, oh, no. I mean, look, I mean, you're scared to cut their fingernails. You guys know what I'm talking about, especially if you cut them and they bleed a little bit. It's like, oh, my God, why don't we? Oh, their little toes and all this other stuff. And then they get a runny nose, and you got to take the blue sucker monster from hell and jump up in there and suck all the mucus out, and they're screaming, right? Ah! You remember that? Do you still have to do Nevaeh that way? Yeah, still yet. Yeah. The blue sucker monster. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But you realize if you don't hold their head and do that, they can't breathe. And you hate it. I mean, you hate it. I mean, you ever take your kids to get a shot and the nurse says you hold them? I'm like, get somebody else to hold them. You know what I'm talking about? I don't want to be responsible for this. But they've got to take their medicine. And I'm telling you, that's the thing we hate, but that's where we are. Sometimes you got to have your head and the blue sucker monster up in there, and we got to pull out the muck because you can't breathe. In the body of Christ, sometimes there's injuries, there's wounds that come in, there's diseases that take come in. And sometimes you got to be strapped down while that cancer is cut out. And it's not pleasant, and there's blood, and there's recuperation, and there's all of these things, but it's necessary for the body of Christ. You know, I know some people who won't go to the doctor. They know something is wrong, and they won't go to the doctor, because if I go to the doctor, then I have to confront that which is wrong. And I don't want to confront, so if I just stick my head in the sand and act like nothing is really wrong, then maybe it'll go away. It ain't going away. I mean, you understand what I'm talking about. Do you know anybody like that, that just who won't go? And again, I'm not against doctors or anything like that. I believe the Lord has blessed them to be a balm in Gilead for many. Not against them at all. But with what's going on in the church and what's going on in the world, we cannot stick our head in the sand. We must be prepared. We must be ready. I'm going to show you something, and you can check this out yourself. I got to pull this up here. Oh, my goodness. It went off. Listen to this headline 4 days ago. An imposter Christianity is threatening American democracy. It's headline news. An imposter Christianity is threatening. And I want to tell you, in the article, when you do some research, guess who they think is a great Christian woman? Hillary. I want you to understand. And there's a thing going on. I just have to show you this. Here's how the article begins. Three men, eyes closed, heads bowed, pray before a rough-hewn wooden cross. Another man wraps his arm around a massive Bible pressed against his chest like a shield. All throughout the crowd, people wave "Jesus saves" banners and pump their fists towards the sky. At first glance, these snapshots look like scenes from an outdoor church rally. But this event wasn't a revival. It was what some call a Christian revolt. These were photos of people who stormed the Capitol on January 6th. During an attempt to overturn the election. Now listen, the insurrection marked the first time many Americans realized the U.S. is facing a burgeoning white Christian nationalist movement. You have been labeled as white Christian nationalist. You didn't even know it, did you? Right? I mean, if you guys can see the little red sign up there in the corner, who wrote that article? Yeah. You can read the article. You're a white Christian nationalist. You believe in the scriptures. You believe in the virgin birth. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, his resurrection. You believe in his kingdom. You believe in righteousness. You believe that only women can have children and that marriage is between a man and woman. You are a white Christian nationalist. You are a terrorist if you go to a school board meeting. You are an enemy of the new state. This is where you are. This is what's going on right now in our country. And I know people think, well, you know, Christians are supposed to just go hide out because Christians don't like confrontation. Listen, like it or not, it's there. It's here. Now, what would you do? And I say this, what would you do if somebody broke into your home? Here's Kayla with some young kids. Somebody broke into your home and they're coming after your kids. They're coming in your home. They got knives and bats and they're going to beat little Taylor to death. What would you do? Would you fight? And we think, well, that's not really happening. They're doing it in school. They're doing it in school. They got a different warfare. They're doing it in school. They're teaching them to hate their parents. They're teaching them, look, I mean, you're in school, some others in school. They're teaching them that, number one, the dads are the stupidest people in the whole world. They're going to teach them that Anthony is terrible and he's stupid and you don't really need a man in the home. And then they're going to teach that mom is stupid. She don't know anything and the kids know better. And they're going to teach them that it's all right for drag queens to come in and read to five-year-olds, and that's okay. Now, we think this is crazy stuff. I mean, could you have ever believed this would happen in our country? And it is happening today. Tracy was telling me last week they caught somebody running around naked down at Raven. Just running around down naked. Did you hear that? You think, well, these things happen in New York. Can they happen in L.A.? They don't happen in Tazewell County. And I'm telling you, if you don't understand this, where is all these drugs being made? The Big C country, right? And then they're shipped to the cartels. And have you seen all the people that come across? Every one of them's got a wristband because they belong to certain cartels and how much it costs when they come over. And they bring in all this stuff that's coming from the Big C country over here. And we got everybody over here hooked on drugs. I mean, the leading cause of death between 20 and 49-year-olds in America is drug overdose, fentanyl. Can you imagine that? The leading cause of death. It's not right for 20-year-olds to be buried because of drug overdoses. And we think, well, how? And see, it's okay as long as it's somebody else's family, right? As long as I don't have to go to the funerals. Is there any family in here that hasn't been affected by drug and alcohol abuse? I don't know anybody, nobody, that their family hasn't been infected by the curse of that. Nobody. Now, we might say, well, we're not under the curse anymore. And I got to say, well, sometimes when you read things and see, does it make you question? I go back and I question. I say, well, maybe I'm not under the curse. Maybe I'm in Christ Jesus. But what happens in your family? What happens to your loved one? What happens to your close family? Do you see the stuff that is going on? There's only one safe place in this world, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the last couple of weeks, get you to the mountain. There is no other place. I mean, David said, if I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost parts of the sea, the Lord is there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, the Lord is there. There's nowhere I can go to get away. White Christian nationalists. Can you imagine that? You have been labeled. I mean, it's on the forefront. I seen a thing the other day. And, of course, I think, and this is a part of it, I'm telling you. You know, we've been studying this in Revelation. There's a fake church and there's a real one. There's a fake Christianity and there's a real one. You always see the two. You all the way back to Moses. One snake swallowed the other one. But up in New York, I watched it on video. This reverend got robbed while he was preaching. Did y'all see that? Yeah, come in there and got his jewelry and his wife's jewelry. Now, I'm thinking, you know what they call this rev on the street? Reverend Bling Bling. Him and his wife had $1 million of jewelry on. $1 million of jewelry on. My watch didn't cost half that. $1 million. Now, see, to me, and here they are preaching, the next thing you know, he just lays down on the floor and they come up and rob him and his wife. And there's a guy sitting behind him. He don't even move. I guess it's just commonplace. And then he wants them to turn themselves in. I'm like, come on. And he was talking about his Rolls Royce. Reverend Bling Bling. That's how he's known on the street. Reverend Bling Bling. Another guy, he owns a bunch of restaurants in California, and they've been getting robbed. And he got a good camera system. Now these are the laws in California. You think, well, that's a long ways away. Laws in California. He got these people coming into his restaurant, blatant, on camera. Easy, good face recognition. They left the store, went out, got license tag, car, make, everything. Them with goods in their hands, all the stuff that they stole. took all the video stuff, gave it to the police, and the police says, we can't do nothing. Because the new laws in California state, unless I catch you in the act, then I can't prosecute you. In other words, cameras do nothing. And then the police chief told him, he said, even if we did pursue this and catch them and arrest them within 12 hours, they'll be back out on the street with a note in their hand to appear in court, and they'll never show up. So they can walk in to your place of business and steal you blind, and you can do nothing about it, even if you film it on your little cell phone cameras and have them doing it, it means nothing. Now, I'm telling you, God has ordained, I've told you this before, the laws of the land. The laws of the land are for the lawless. The scripture tells you that. He has put magistrates, he has put police, he's put those things in place to keep law and order in the land. And when they fail to do that, they have no other reason for existence and are ready to be snuffed out and taken out. And then all chaos ensues. And I'm telling you, if you don't realize chaos is about to hit our country, maybe the world, then you better wake up. You better wake up. And sometimes it takes the Lord a long time to do these things because he's merciful and he's gracious and he gives space for these things. And what would be awesome if the churches would unite and stand together and stand firm in these things and like we say before, take over these other things. But Christians don't want to get involved. We don't like confrontation. We don't want to get involved. I'm telling you, remember that story that Malcolm was telling us about the little babies in Africa? Now think about this. What would you do? Your baby's sleeping over you, and you get up in the morning, and there's a big old rat the size of your arm, and they're eating the nose off of your baby. Would you confront the rat? Or shoo it away? You know, at some point in time, like in Joshua, you got to take the rat out and crush his stinking head. Right early in the scriptures, I hear where he is going to crush the head of the serpent, and he did it. He didn't say, hey, guess what? I'm going to go down. I'm going to make a deal with the devil. We're going to get everything right because I don't really want confrontation. I mean, could you, you know. I mean, he told the disciples, go. All power in heaven and in earth is given to me. Now go. What was they going to do? They were going to confront the darkness. They were going to make disciples. They were going into the nations and rescue people, draw them out of the clutches of evil and bring them into the kingdom of his dear son. Guys, on a rescue mission, do you ever look back and what? There was a rescue mission took place in the Bible. Abraham, he went after Lot. He took 300 of his men and they went down and destroyed the kings that had them. Five kings, and they destroyed them and took all the loot with them. But here in the church today, it's like, oh, it's all about love. Well, guys, when the rat is eating the nose off your baby's face, love runs in and kills the rat, doesn't it? Love may have to hold the baby and use the blue sucker machine to get the snot out of their nose. It's not always pleasant. You know, I watch these things. Guys, listen. I haven't watched TV at my house in a month. Of course, you got phones, and I'll just pull up and just see what the headlines are. I just check them. You think, man, I live in it, but it doesn't take long to get them. New poll shows the Democrats are leading in the polls. You think it's going to be a red wave. Well, you know what the issue is? Roe versus Wade. The people are more concerned over abortion rights than the economy. And they're pushing it to the hilt and getting an uproar because of these white Christian nationalists taking the rights away from women, because women ought to have the right to murder babies, because I don't care what you say, that's what it is. And see, we can't really talk about it. you know? But I say we can. I say we have to talk about it. I mean, not in maybe an ugly way. Maybe it is an ugly way. I don't know. But can you believe that? Because because you know what's happening? The Christian people sat back. They sat back. And they said, Joe, we're going to win hands down in the midterms. Hands down. I mean, let's just go relax. Yeah, that happened in 2022, didn't it? What happened? Stolen. I don't care what they say. And they're going to do it again. And what's Christians going to do? Complain. Complain. But you know what? Think about this. If Christians run all the local governments, then they wouldn't have been able to come into the poll because we need Christian poll watchers. Do you believe that? Would you rather have a bunch of Christian people up there counting votes? But what a Christian, I don't want to do that. I ain't got time. I'm busy. I'm busy. How many other people is there? Everybody's busy. I don't have time for that. We got time for every cotton picking thing else. And let me tell you, that's the ploy of the world, is to keep you busy. He said in Lamentations, what the world will do is keep you too busy. You ain't got time to pray. You ain't got time to seek the Lord. I mean, my God, I mean, everything is about, I mean, I've got my entertainment I've got to go through. I've got all of this stuff to take care of. And I'll tell you this, and I watch this, guys, because, you know, I'm coming up getting close to retirement, believe it or not. So you try to watch what's going on economically. You know, if you're smart, I believe you try to pay attention to your money, right? I mean, you don't want to be stupid. You want to lose everything. I mean, if you got your money over here in the bank and you hear the bank is going to go belly up, probably a wise decision to go get your money out of that bank and move it to a safe place. Well, you know, I didn't just wake up on the turnip truck last night. I mean, I've watched the gasoline go from under $2 a gallon to almost $5. Of course, it's going back down a little bit. I wonder why that is. What's up here in a couple months? Because everybody, if I push gas to $5 a gallon and tomorrow you go put it in and it's $4.20, you think, man, life is great. It's $4.20 a stinking gallon still yet. And I pulled in to fill my truck up, it's $60. And then our leader, our fearless leader, and imagine this, you can change the name and say we're not in a recession. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but Thursday the GDP numbers come out. And the definition of a recession is two consecutive quarters with negative GDP means we're in a recession. And you know, and the numbers came out, we're in a recession. He says, no, that's not the definition. So you know what? I can make the definition up whatever I want it to be, which is exactly what's going on in the world today. I'm identifying as a frog, I guess. So, and you know, I heard this is so stupid. I heard this yesterday. You're not allowed to say monkeypox anymore. Did you hear that? You can't say monkeypox anymore because it's offensive. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Can you, I mean, do you get the mentality here? I mean, what if I slip up? What if I slip up at work and say, hand me that monkey wrench? I'm going to tell you what, I was working down there at Norton. It's been a long time ago, and I had no idea. And God, Jeff can tell you, I mean, we use tools in electrical. We have certain tools. And one of the tools that I use is called a pair of dykes. Is that what you call them, Jeff? And I would be sitting there working. I would say, hand me the dykes. And a guy will look at me and says, you can't say that. I'm like, what the heck are you talking about? Just hand them to me. I need them. No, you can't say them. And he says, you got to say side cutters. Because somebody here, you call that tool a dyke. I had no idea. I mean, I'm in the dark. I'm going to get fired, and I don't even know what I'm talking about. Because, I mean, I didn't get a language book of ethical modern language. But I have the scriptures. I mean, you understand what I'm saying here. Not in a reception, not in a recession. Just change the rules. All this stuff is going on and the church is still playing games. I'm just telling you, still playing games. Won't grow up, won't get serious. I mean, this is the very reason we're in the state that we're in. I mean, I really believe this with all my heart. I really believe that we pray, thy kingdom come. We just sung that song. We pray, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I really believe that of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. And we are bearers of that because we have Christ in us and we're in him. And we're to bring that to the world. And bringing that to the world means confrontation. It means stomping your foot down. And he promised everywhere the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you. But you know what? That means setting your foot down in the face of confrontation. Right? It doesn't mean I have to run around and point at people all the time. John the Baptist did that, cost him his head. I don't believe the Lord rebuked him either. I mean, it really happened. I know the Lord himself run him out of the temple with a whip. That he made of cords, turned over the money changers' table, run them out. And I've said this before, and I will say it again, they are actually wrong. Well, as somebody told me the other day, the church needs to stay out of politics. I'm telling you, that is wrong. The church needs to take it over. I'm telling you with all of my heart, the church needs to take it over. And it begins taking it over in the homes. And then it begins at local and it goes all the way up. But they think there's supposed to be a separation of church and state. Listen, there is no separation of church and state. What Thomas Jefferson was saying, and I'm just going to share this to you. He was saying the state, meaning the federal government, would not be allowed to infringe on your rights to worship God wherever and however you saw fit. That was the separation he was talking about. So what they done is they said, oh, separation of church and state. We're part of the state. You can't bring that in here. And the church rolled over and said, hey, we don't need prayer in our schools. We don't need our little kids learning how to say grace over dinner. No, we don't need any of that stuff. Let me give you some headlines here. A student was prohibited from writing a research paper on a religious topic. And he was prohibited from carrying a Bible on school grounds. Now imagine that. Nevaeh goes to school next week. 2 weeks from now, carries a Bible to school and gets suspended because she's got a Bible. Could you imagine that would ever happen in this country? A school removed a Bible from its reference library. Cadets at a state military academy banned from praying over their meals individually. They would come in at a state military academy and say a blessing over their meal and they got banned. Imagine that in this country. I hope it ought to fire you up. State employee in Minnesota, which should be part of Canada. I mean, they're as liberal as Trudeau. What a weirdo. Trudeau, weirdo, it rhymes. State employee in Minnesota barred from parking at government office buildings because he had a religious bumper sticker. This is going on right now. I mean, these are recent headlines. 5-year-old kindergartner forbidden to say a prayer over her lunch in New York. Scolded by the teacher, called out in the lunchroom, scolded, taken down to the principal, and the principal warned her never to do it again. A kindergartner. Now, who's raising who here? Who's raising who here? We're sending our kids off to public school, and this is what happens. in Texas at a senior citizens at a community center was stopped from praying over their meals, forbidden to do so. A librarian in Kentucky had to take off her necklace because it had a small cross on it. Somebody saw it. I told you, you're a white Christian nationalist. I mean, can you believe all this? I could go on and on and on. And I just, in my mind, I'm amazed. What has happened? Why did we allow this stuff? And what can we do to stop it? Let me give you a Bible verse. It's always good to have at least one Bible verse. I'm going to read you a couple. Jeremiah chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. I want to tell you something. Fulfilling prophecy in this, the Lord Jesus was the remnant. He was all that was left. He was the one. But I'm telling you, we can't throw out the Old Testament and say, I mean, Paul said it was given for our examples. Given for our learning so that we could look. And what you'll see when a nation falls and everything gets corrupted, there's only a remnant left, those who cling to the Lord. And here's the verse 10, to whom shall I speak and give warning? Who's going to hear this warning? To whom shall I speak and give a warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot hear. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. The word of the Lord to them is a reproach, a rebuke. They don't want to hear it. I don't want you wearing your cross. You get that bumper sticker off. Don't tell me your little five-year-olds can go up there and pray. Don't tell me any of that stuff. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's a reproach. We don't want to hear it. We have our God. And our God is the federal government. Go to Colossians. Colossians 1:28. Whom we preach. I mean, this is coming right off the scripture. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Whom we preach. Who? Christ in you. Whom we preach. Warning every man. Warning them of what? We're in the New Testament. Paul is writing to the Colossians. Why is he warning? Listen, if there's... You know, not long ago, well, it's still going on. Down there at Cedar Bluff, they got the bridge out. They finally got one lane open. They put up red lights. They put up signs, bridge out, and all this other stuff. Detour, go around. Well, let's just say they don't put up a sign. How many people's going to crash into the river? Driving out through there. Hey, man, there's a bridge. There's a good bridge. Crash. And to me, if I was the first one that crashed, I'd be getting out. I'd be running back to the other cars I see come and say, hey, wait a minute. The bridge is out. The bridge is out. It's a warning. Paul is giving a warning to every man. So if there's a warning, it means there's something up ahead that could destroy you. Right? Isn't that what a warning is? There is something out there that if you go this road, if you keep on this course, the bridge is out and it will bring you to destruction. So he says, I'm warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. Now, what's the context that he's talking about right here? We go all the way back to Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So again, there's two kingdoms here, right? And one of them, he's warning, okay, we've been translated out of that. and brought over into the kingdom of his dear son. But now I'm warning you, if you try to live in this other kingdom, if you try to bring this over here, it will destroy you. I mean, he tells us we've been redeemed. How? Through his precious blood, bought with a price. But let me explain something here. If I can, I get these pictures in my head. Jesus come to seek and save that was lost, that which was lost. And he came to give life and all of these other things. But let me tell you something. Why did he do that? Did he save the whole world? Scripture says he loved the whole world, right? Gave his son for the whole world. But does that mean the whole world is saved? It can't. And what I mean is this. You and me were over here in this tyranny under the slave of sin, and we got bought, redeemed, purchased, translated. That means we got taken out and brought over here into a whole nother kingdom. Now God has offered this through his son to everyone that is over here. But what happens? They are under the tyranny. The God of this world has blinded their minds. He said they got uncircumcised ears. They will not hear. So in order to rescue them out of that, which God is not hating all the gay people and transgender people, but who has put them under the spell? That's the one we have to go after. That's the one we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers. The one who has them in bondage is the one we must go after. Now, what we see in the world is the stupid stuff, the puppets portraying what their master is telling them to portray. Because the stuff that comes out is utter stupidity. Utter stupidity. Utter nonsense. This guy, I think his name is Matt Walsh, just did a video, a documentary on women, on I can't think of the name of it. And he's interviewing all these women and transgender and in America and about how that men can have babies. Now, of course, this guy, he's Christian. And just the utter stupidity and the people that he brought there, my God, I mean, in my mind, listen, I love Tracy to death. I think she's the prettiest thing to ever live. But if she had a beard, I got a beard. I'm a guy. But if Tracy had a beard, something I had to give. And when I see a woman sitting there with hair and makeup and a beard, something ain't right. Yeah, I mean, you know what? I mean, it turns my stomach. I'll just tell you that. But this guy, Matt Walsh, I think has his name, he goes over into Africa and he starts talking to some of those people. And he's telling them what's going on, and these people are almost scratching their head. And the guy says, man have a duty, woman have a duty. Man can't do woman's duty, woman can't do man's duty. And he's like, well, what if they're binary? And they look at him like, what kind of word is that? What if they're transgender? They can't even comprehend. And they said, well, what if a man thinks he's a woman? And they all laughed. I mean, the whole tribe was laughing. Oh, that man crazy. Well, you know what? If the daggone Biden administration gets a hold of that, they'll sanction that country. That man crazy. Uncircumcised ears, something's over their ears. They cannot hear. And you know what? You and I can go out and we can talk to these people till we're blue in the face and it's not going to do any good. I can promise you right now, the only thing that will do any good is for us to get to the holy mountain in prayer and seek the Lord one-on-one. This is what I'm talking about in Christian prepping. The best thing a Christian can do is to get alone with our Heavenly Father. That is the only place of safety and that is trustworthy in the entire world. But you know what? The one thing that they have taken away, or when I say they, is they've gotten everybody too busy. I watched this guy's in Little League football because when I coached Little League football, Tim, he coached for many, many years. There was 2 days of the week we would never do anything on. Wednesday evenings and Sundays. You know what they're doing now? Having ball games on Wednesdays and Sundays because they have to get them in. Right? And everybody says, well, it's okay. You see, at one time that was a day set aside that we even, I'm not saying one day's holier than another day, but that was the day we had set aside. And the enemy said, I'm not going to give you that. I'm taking it. And they took it. And we justified it because we said, well, our kids are in sports. And they took it. And what did we do? We gave it to them. Because who do we have? Who do we have that's coaching that says, no, I'm not standing for it. My team is not going to play. I mean, who do we have? No, well, then you're out of the league. Well, then so be it. But who do we have? We don't want confrontation. So they just come in and they take it. And the people come in and say, well, I would be at church right now, but we have a baseball tournament. Baseball tournament's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, we can't be there. We got travel baseball. We got travel basketball. We got travel soccer. We got all of these other things coming up. And we would go meet out with the saints of God and seek the very presence of the Lord. But you know what? I don't have time. We'll get to it next week. But then I've got to work and I got to mow the grass and I got everything else to do. And then, oh, I'm just too tired. And for long, there you are. For long. And here we are in a country who has labeled us white Christian nationalists. You know, Ephesians 4:12, I'm just sharing stuff with you that's been on my mind. He gave some, Ephesians 4:12, I'm going to start in verse 11. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. That word perfecting means the equipping. If I'm equipping you, that means there's a task for you to go do, right? Something that's out there, something that's got to be done. There's a task ahead. Listen, we have these things in the natural. You know, a person has a wedding, and before the wedding, what do they have? A God-forsaken shower. I say God-forsaken. Us men, we don't get no preparation, do we, Jeff? We didn't have a shower. We didn't even take a shower. Need a shower. They just said, you're a guy here. But the woman, you know, and there's baby showers. Now, why is there baby showers? Because there's a baby coming on the scene, and you're going to need some things for that baby, some extra bottles and diapers and all of it. So we're preparing you. So there's ministry in the body of Christ preparing you for something, for the work of the ministry, so that you can prepare others until we all come in the unity of the faith. So in other words, we must not be in the unity of the faith. And there's a ministry there that is preparing us to be in unity of the faith. And like I said, you try to call for meetings and you try to unite people together and they will not come. And I mean, we just read in Jeremiah, why won't they come? We're talking church people. The Lord says, or Jeremiah says, who's going to hear? Their ears are uncircumcised. They cannot hear. So we're talking the Lord's people even now cannot hear. Why? Because they chose not to hear. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the people of the Lord. Chose not to hear. Why? Because I know if I start following the Lord, he's going to ask me to do all these ugly things and be confrontational, and I don't have any boldness, and why don't he just leave me alone and keep my little family safe, and we're going to hide out over in the hill and everything, and just please rapture me out of here. And that's where we're at. For the perfecting, for the full equipping, I mean, and I got to ask, this is why I share this stuff with you. What is the responsibility as a pastor? What is the responsibility of somebody who's, if I see the road is out, if I see there's hard times ahead, should I not tell you that we have hard times ahead? Maybe, listen guys, maybe hard times ahead may be averted. The Lord showed me that one time, and I shared with you maybe on Wednesday night. He showed me the Statue of Liberty that was torn down. And I mean, I wrote it down in my book, and he said, it doesn't have to be. I remember the Lord told me specifically, it doesn't have to be. It can be averted. If my people, things can be averted. But if not, that's the reason you can't go out and just say, this is going to happen. If you keep going down this road, then the bridge is out up ahead. And I'm telling you, if America as this nation keeps going down that road, the bridge is out and the speed is increased and the wreck is going to be terrible. And it's going to be global. And I'm telling you, we've talked about this 100 times before, maybe 1,000. I don't know about us preparing and growing food in gardens. And I'm going to tell you what I believe, that my very home is a haven from this stuff, because the Lord is there. The Lord is in me. And the Lord has blessed us to get some food and learn how to can. Why? So that I can eat it all while everybody else starves? I believe the Lord has blessed us so that we can help others who will not prepare. That's why. To take care of others. And I believe this with all my heart. The Lord gave us this huge building. And when that flood hit down Raven, I wanted to bring people in here and say, here, I didn't buy this place and you didn't buy it. The Lord has given us this place. And I said, why would you give us this big old building if not to be a safe haven? I mean, you understand. I mean, this is the way I think when people are dispersed, that hey, we have shelter. We have shelter. Not to just be a big, pretty building. I mean, I got to go back, guys, and I look in the scriptures. I mean, it's, you know, people read the Old Testament and say, well, I don't want nothing to do with that God in the Old Testament. I mean, he wiped out nations and did all of that other stuff, and I want the God of the New Testament. He's nice. And then I read where Jesus is the same. I mean, who is Jesus? He was God manifest in the flesh. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I mean, so what do? I mean, do you guys question these things? I go back and I look and I think, well, is America under judgment? What? I mean, I've heard people say, well, God can't judge America because he already judged everything in Christ Jesus. But then I start reading in Romans, and I thought, my God, Paul warns us about the judgment of God. So what do you do with that? Well, listen, if I am in Christ Jesus, I'm spared from the wrath of God and the judgment of God. But if I am not in Christ Jesus, behold, the wrath of God abides on the children of disobedience. I mean, can you see the difference? So I'm living in a nation. I'm living in a nation who has called down the very wrath of God upon them. That nation, United States, not a Christian nation. We're the only Christian nation there is. When I say we, not America, I'm talking we, the church. We are the nation of Israel. We're his people. We're it. All other nations are heathen. And the wrath of God. And if those nations do not do what they're supposed to do by keeping law and order and justice in the land, which they've been ordained to do, then God gives them over. 3 times in Romans chapter 1, God gave them over to a hardness of heart. God gave them over to a reprobated mind. He says, you want this? And I'm telling you what I see in America is God says, you want stupidity? Have Joe Biden. Like it or not. Is there a more corrupt, stupid man that has ever been in the White House? No, there has not. And it's a pure sign to me that God says, you want stupidity? Here, I'll give it to you. And look at his cabinet. I mean, Mariakas said the other day, the border's secure. I mean, he said that in his speech. I don't know what y'all talking about. The border's secure. And they say it with straight face. And they mean it. I'm telling you. I mean, sometimes it gets me mad. You know, I may have told you last week, I'll tell you again. You know, that guy down there in Texas that raped that girl for 2 hours and left her a bloody mess. Beating her, knife, all this other stuff. And you know what happened to that guy? He got 5 years probation. 5 years probation. I'm just telling you right now, homie clown preacher's going to jail. Because there'll be no probation unless I get it. I know that you think, well, that's all big tough talk. Guys, I'm a dad. I got a daughter. I'm not going to let the rats come and eat their face off. It's not going to happen. And to me, I'm just telling you, I mean, this is not threats. And I'm saying this because we as Christians have got to get out of the wimpiness. We have got to, I'm going to tell you what, I can't stand wimpiness. I'll just say that. Now listen, there is being ladylike. And I love being ladylike. I love to open the door for Tracy. She never opens the door for me. But I love it. She's a lady. But there's a difference in being a lady and being a wimp. You know what I mean? There's a big difference. I'm going to tell you what. Tracy may be a lady, but mess with her kids. And you'll see the bear come out at her. Oh, she bear. I've seen it, baby. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And why is that? Is that mean? Is that? That's called love. That is what that really is. And what I'm talking about here is not absence from the love of God. But what I'm telling you is right. And it is because of the love of God that we do the things that we do. Let me give you a scripture. I'm going to quit. I got all these notes, and I didn't even go through them. You know, when Moses brought Israel out of Egypt, I just want you to go back and look at these things. Egypt was called the furnace of affliction. Furnace. But down there they had food. They had all of that stuff. And God says, put the blood, kill the lamb, put the blood on the door. Go into the house and eat the lamb. Eat all of it. And he said, tonight don't pack up your wagons and store a bunch of food. He says, be ready to go. Because he was doing something. He was sending a destroyer down there. And the destroyer was going to destroy all the gods of Egypt. And let me tell you something. I went back and I looked, and you'll think I'm crazy. You'll think I'm crazy, but that's okay. Just let the Holy Spirit work this out in your mind. It's pretty easy to tell that the cross was killing of the lamb and all of that. But what was that destroyer? I'm telling you, that destroyer was none other than the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And you go read that. We want to say it poured out on all flesh, and they prophesy, and they dream dreams and all that. But keep on reading where the moon was turned to blood and the sun was darkened, and there was great warning. There was great warning that Peter stood up and said, ye men of Israel, the Holy One of God whom you crucified, that God has made this one both Lord and Christ. And the whole thing is, you better come to him. And they were pricked in their heart, and they jumped up and says, what must we do to be saved? 3,000 were added to the church. And Peter said, save yourself from what? This untoward generation. This vile generation whom the Holy Spirit is going to make bring to nothing. I mean, can you see this? You see, that's what happens in our very heart. The Holy Spirit comes in and destroys all the gods of Egypt. And we're drawn out. At the same time he destroys, at the same time he gives life. Deuteronomy. Chapter 11, verse 22. These are my last verses.
I don't even know what time it started. And now you're thinking, well, Deuteronomy. I want you to understand that Deuteronomy has been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're not under the law. I'm not saying we're under the law, but we are to keep His commandments. Now, what do you mean, keep His commandments? That means we're to believe on Him. I was telling Brother Jeff this morning, you know, and Tracy works at the bank, we have a great, mighty inheritance, right? And it's like you go to the bank to get it. But what people fail to realize is, and now Tracy, she works at the bank, she can tell you, not just any Joe can walk in there and get the stuff. I can't walk in and say, I got $1 million in here and I want to take it all out. Tracy's going to say, well, that's all well and good, but I need some ID. Right? I mean, who are you? I know who Paul is. Who are you? Do you know who you are? The church don't know who they are. So in other words, they can't make a withdrawal. So that's why we go back into the Old Testament. That's why I want to see, because guys, the way, Jesus is the way, we can come boldly to the throne of grace, but there is a method of approach, and it's recorded in Scripture. How did the high priest approach? I mean, he had to wash his clothes and wash them again and wash them again and have blood on his thumb and blood on his ear and blood on his big toe. And he had blood all over him and sacrifice was being made and he had to walk in with incense. And he did all of these things. Now, how do we come? We come in the person of Jesus Christ with all these things to fulfill. But now listen, if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to cleave to Him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you. And ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourself. Now, I got to say this. Who has fulfilled this? The Lord Jesus Christ has fulfilled this. He has kept the law. He's kept the commandments. He has did all of this other stuff. Now, where are we? We're in Him and He's in us. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. Why have we given our schools over? Why have we given our schools over to the state and federal government? Why? There's a promise right here. Do you believe in the promises of God? That everywhere the soles of your foot tread, I've given it to you? This is a promise right here in black and white. I got my finger on it. You see it on the board. This is a promise that He promised. And you know what? All the promises of God in Christ Jesus are what? Yes and amen. But you see, I read you that where they said, oh, Kathy, you wore a cross. You can't come into school. I seen a thing yesterday where they said the protocol now to go to Tazewell County football games, all the stuff you're going to have to be, the stuff you can carry in and can't, you know, all you ladies are going to have clear pocketbooks, and you can't bring chairs with arms on them to sit on. I mean, all this stupid stuff, Teddy. Let me keep on reading. Every place whereupon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the uttermost sea shall be your coast. Now here's the point I want to get you. There shall no man be able to stand before you. No man shall be able to stand before you. Why? Why? Because you're big and mighty and tough and all of this other stuff. For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as He has said unto you. The Lord shall lay the fear of God. The fear of God's the beginning of wisdom. And I'm telling you what, there is no fear in the land. There is no dread in the land. For Christians, they just label them, call them white Christian nationalists. You people are crazy. You've lost your mind. Go away. But let me tell you something. When they started marching, when they come out of Egypt and they started marching through, they said, by God, we have heard what your God did to Egypt. We've heard what your God did to the inhabitants of Jericho. We've heard what your God, how He parted the River Jordan. We've heard what your God did. I'm telling you, have they heard? Have they seen? Do they know what our God has did in the Lord Jesus Christ? He's in us and we're in Him. And we're going forth and everywhere the sole of our feet is tread, He's given it to us. Now, you know what we need as saints and Christians to do? Walk.
walk in Him. I could keep going on. I better quit. I get fired up. I'm going to quit with that. I'm going to do our communion. You got us off, baby.